Mark chapter 6, verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. Remember, he sent them out two by two, and they were giving a report. Verse 31, and he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Now, wait a minute. Is it legal to incorporate rest into your ministry, your life? Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. Now, you know it's bad. You're so busy, so many tugs on your life. Your schedule is so intense. You have no margin in life to the level where you can't even eat. Now you know it's out of balance. Verse 32, and they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Father, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you will speak to our hearts. Help each one of us, Lord, to get real before you, get transparent before you, to get honest before you. And Lord, that you will so pierce our hearts in all the right places and help us to make adjustments to come into alignment with your purpose and plan, that both work and family can coexist peacefully to bring you honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's explore three essentials to balancing work and family. And I have them in your listening guide. Three essentials to balancing work and family. Here's essential number one. You ready for it? Protect your priorities. Protect your priorities. And here's what you'll discover at every stage of life. If you don't protect your priorities, they won't be protected. Your responsibility under God is for you to protect your priorities. That's your assignment from God. He holds you accountable, and he holds me accountable for my priorities. Notice the flow in here in chapter 6. I love when you study the Gospels and you get in tune with the life of Jesus Christ. I love how Jesus guarded his standing appointment with his Heavenly Father. Every morning, Jesus had a standing appointment with God. We find that in Mark 1:35, where the Bible says, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, he departed and went to a desolate place, a remote place, and there he prayed. So Jesus' number one priority that we are to emulate is to guard your standing meeting with God. The first thing Jesus did was rose early, and he went off to a desolate place where he could be alone with the Father to commune with the Father in prayer. That was his number one priority. We see here in chapter 6 the flow of ministry that day. He sends out the 12 two by two to proclaim the gospel, to cast out demons, and to heal the sick. Jesus also receives news of the beheading of John the Baptist. Remember the one who baptized Jesus and said, behold, the Lamb of God? His cousin John, John the Baptist has been beheaded, and you can just imagine the immense grief that Jesus and his disciples are experiencing. Then we notice that Jesus and his disciples get in a boat to go to a desolate place to rest. The crowds are clamoring for their attention, more people wanting the personal touch ministry of Jesus in their own lives. The disciples feeling the tugs of all the people and just overwhelmed with grief by John the Baptist's death. And Jesus says, let's get in the boat and let's get away. I love what Vance Havner said. He said, if you don't learn to come apart, you will come apart. It's a priority. What's so unique here is that Jesus guarded that priority of rest. And then we notice he was able to then dispense with more ministry, where we see in chapter 6, he and his disciples feed the 5,000. Now I want to give you my five priorities. If you'll write these down, you may want to embrace these. I've shared these a year or so ago with you. For me, I revisit these every week. It's the five P's, and they're in order. First of all, I'm a priest before God. And I don't mean a Catholic priest with a clerical collar. What I mean is, I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. And my relationship with Christ is number one. So I'm a priest before God. I have direct access before God and in his presence. And so do you as a child of God. You, if you're saved, born again, filled with the Spirit, you are a priest before God. And we are a kingdom of priests. So that love relationship with the Lord is number one. So I'm a priest. Number two, I am a partner. So I'm going to nurture my relationship with Jesus. I'm going to nurture my relationship with Tanya. I'm a partner. We're married. We're in covenant relationship now for 24 years. So I'm married to how many people? Two. Jesus and Tanya. I'm in covenant relationship with the Lord, and I'm in a covenant relationship with Tanya. My third priority is this. I am a parent. And I am so blessed to be a parent to my daughter, Tori, who is a junior at LSU, and my son, Austin, who's a sophomore at Klein High School. I have God-given responsibilities as their dad. My fourth priority starts with a P. I'm a pastor. You could put / professional for your area. So I'm a pastor. That is my vocational calling from God. What is your vocation? What is your calling? If you're a stay-at-home mom, you would plug it in right there. Not only are you a parent, but you're a stay-at-home mom, and you have a family business that you're taking care of. It's called the home, and there's a lot to do, a lot to take care of. So what about for you? For me, it's pastor / professional. Then number five, I'm a person. I'm a person. I'm a human being. I am a physical body. I've got to take care of this physical body, thus fitness and eating healthy. I've got a soul. I've got to nurture soul care so that I can stay close and clean before Almighty God, and I'll have something to give as I share my life with other people and allow Jesus to live his life in me and through me. Those are my five priorities. Now, for me, the danger is that I mix number four as a pastor and church ministry I'm involved in, that I mix number four with number one, that I confuse my role as a pastor with my relationship with Jesus Christ. And sometimes I'll get so enamored and so engrossed in serving God through the local church that I act as though that's my number one priority, and I can even bypass my relationship with Jesus because I'm serving the local church. And you can do the same exact thing in your career. You can be so obsessed and focused on your career that you bypass the other significant relationships in your life. Here's how I wrote it in my notes. Your occupation, well, this is so convicting. I'm glad I have steel-toed shoes on this morning. Your occupation can become your preoccupation and generate negative consequences for your personal health and your family. Your preoccupation with your occupation can generate negative consequences. What does that demonstrate? It means that your life is out of balance. It means that my life is out of balance, and we've got to bring it back in to focus. So step number one is an essential: protect your priorities. You ready for number two? Here's essential number two: prepare for reentry. You've probably never heard this concept. Prepare for reentry. In 2003, it was February 1st, the shuttle Columbia with seven astronauts, after being in space some 16 days or so, was returning to Earth, going 18 times the speed of sound. And as they re-entered the Earth's atmosphere, shuttle Columbia disintegrated and spread debris over 2,000 square miles in East Texas and Louisiana. Disintegrated. And what they found upon research was that at takeoff, a foam panel dislodged from the fuel tank and clipped the left wing, which was undetected until reentry, and it was too late. As long as the shuttle was in orbit, everything was fine. But there's something about moving from that environment of that anti-gravity field into the gravitational pull of the Earth's atmosphere and that fiery reentry. There was something about reentry that caused Columbia to disintegrate. Now, here's a picture I want to paint for you. Every day of my life, I have to plan for reentry. Prepare for reentry. Here's some action steps I wrote in my notes, and this is for me. This is for me. Bring energy and guidance into your home, Stephen. Bring engaging conversation. I'm in conversation all day. connecting with people and engaging people. And what God has shown me, bring engaging conversation home with you. Have a vision for home life, just as you have a vision for your career. Here's my greatest challenge. Be fully present. Have you ever been to a restaurant, seen husband and wife across from each other, and they're both on their phones? And it makes you wonder, are they like texting one another? Anyway, eliminate space invaders. Some of the most powerful moments we've had in our home is when we have a technology fast. I mean, it takes a few hours. You have withdrawals. You have to check your pulse. But just simply have a technology fast, it'll change your life. There's so much more I could say about that. We got to move forward. I put here, just for me personally, make intentional deposits into Tanya's love tank. Be intentional. Make those intentional deposits. And then make memories with your family, Stephen. Don't forget to make memories. I remember when Tori and Austin were a little bit younger, and especially as teenagers, anytime they invited me into their private world, I went. If a teenager invites you, parent, into their world, you better go, because you may never get another invitation. Because they get so private, right? When they invite you in, the other night, I was exhausted, depleted, totally spent. It was cold outside. I just wanted to chill, veg, and get put back together. And Austin said, Dad, you want to go throw ball? Now, did I want to go throw ball? Did I want to go? But what did the Spirit of God say to me? He just invited you in his private world. It's not about you. It's not about how you feel. You got the rest of the night to get your rest. Go throw ball. And he's so big now, he throws so hard out in the dark, it just got killed. But anyway, but here's what I know. I know how this works, because I remember, though my dad checked out on us, was sentenced to 10 years in prison, when I sent my dad a note 2 years ago about, here's five things you did right. One of them was, Dad, you taught me how to throw a ball. And I just had that image whenever Austin said, Dad, you don't go throw a ball? And I was thinking, no, I don't. But I went, because I know one day he'll never forget that I was out in the street throwing ball with him. I have a note here, prepare for reentry, not only from work to home, but from home to work. Look at verse 34. I'm almost finished. But this could be a series by itself, actually. 6:34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. What you see in the life of Jesus is a rhythm. And everybody has their own rhythm. I have a unique rhythm. Tanya has a unique rhythm. Our rhythms are not the same. My rhythm is very morning, thriving, high verbal, high energy. She warms up in a day. But then my plane starts landing about 10 p.m. and hers doesn't. So I have to stay up late. My eyes are bloodshot. I'm trying to focus. We just have different rhythms, and the way I recharge is different than how Tanya recharges. When I know she's reached her limit, she's depleted, she needs a book and privacy, don't mess with her. Give her space and let her go enjoy some alone time, because it recharges her. I've got to be with people. I'm all about relationships. I've got to go be with people. It energizes me. It inspires me. Or let's go road biking. Let's go do something. Let's go play racquetball. Let's go do something. And that re-energizes me, recharges me, because it's a different rhythm. Find your rhythm. And Jesus had a rhythm. And he invited his disciples, after doing so much ministry, grieving over John the Baptist's death, he invited them to get in a boat to go to a desolate place so they could rest and experience renewal and restoration, so that when they got to the other side and the crowds went around the lake, Jesus saw the crowds, that they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on them. Now, what expanded his compassion index? Rest. When you're rested, you have more to give. When you're rested, you don't see people as obstacles. You see them as opportunities. And it's all about rest. Well, here's essential number three, and we'll move quickly. Provide for replenishment. Provide for replenishment. So essential number one, protect your priorities. Number two, prepare for reentry, both coming home and going back to the work world. Take something with you. Bring value to workplace. Have something to give when you go back to work. And then essential number three, provide for replenishment. Look at verses 31 and 32. I think they're so important to really dial in on. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. Why? Because there's got to be a time in your life when you're not accessible, when you're not available. Verse 32, and they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Two men were out in the field. They were swinging the blade to knock down the grain in the wheat field. After 4 hours, one goes back to the shed and he sits down. And the other one stayed out in the field because he wanted to accomplish more. And he stayed out there and his hands were hurting. He was weary. He was tired. And he didn't look like he was quite as efficient, but he was fussing because the other one went into the shed. Little did he know, the one that went into the shed, yes, he did sit down. Yes, he did try to get some rest. But while he was sitting, while he was resting, he was sharpening the blade so that when he went back into the field, he was more productive, more effective, more efficient. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is rest. Scripture calls it unstringing your bow, like a bow and arrow. Unstringing your bow, sharpening your blade. Let me give you some quick action steps that I think will be a blessing to you. First of all, replenishment related to rest. Rest. Sleep sufficiently at night. We just got some new window coverings in our master bedroom after 8 years because it just wasn't quite dark enough. You know how it is when you just can't sleep because it's just not dark enough? It's dark now. It's so dark, I feel like I'm in a foreign country when I wake up during the night. It's dark. It's dark, but boy, it sure helps us sleep better. And I have a whole message on how to sleep better. And then take pit stops during the day. Take pit stops during the day. I can't wait to watch the Daytona 500. I'm DVRing it because I got a couple things going on this afternoon teaching faith tonight, but I will watch the 500 at some point. And here's what I love about it. My favorite part's not the race. It's the pit stops. Love watching the pit stops. That's the game changer. And basically, you've got to take a pit stop in life so that you can be refueled and refreshed and windshield cleared off and your grill cleared off and your tires changed. You'll be so much better for it. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy. I just wanted to say it that way. I've heard it preached like that. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Well, that'll preach. So when it comes to rest, practice a daily Sabbath. For me, my daily Sabbath is not only the night's rest. So really, your day begins when you go to sleep. That's when your day starts. So whatever time it is, 9 p.m., 10 p.m., 11 p.m., midnight, whatever your time is, that's when your day starts. And you start your day with rest. Then I wake up with Starbucks, a breakfast bar, and my Bible, and my iPad, and have my quiet time. That's how I move into the day. Then I have a full day that is highly structured and highly scheduled. That's how I move into the day. But the rest is vital. Understanding your rhythm is vital. I practice that daily Sabbath. Then my weekly Sabbath is my date day with Tanya. We have a standing date, a lunch date every week on Fridays. We guard with our lives. That's our date day. We've been doing that for 24 years. That's why I'm asked to play golf just about every day of the week. And I just say no. I have to guard my schedule. Occasionally I'll play golf once every 2 months. But I guard Fridays with my life because it's date day with Tanya. That's our weekly Sabbath. And then a monthly Sabbath. Then an annual Sabbath, which is your vacation. Here's what I love about this. Jesus glorified God resting in the boat just as much as he did feeding the 5,000. He glorified God just as much resting in the boat as he did feeding the 5,000. Here's another word, not only rest, but refreshment. Refreshment. Fuel your body with healthy food. I don't like that part. Revelation. Revelation. Feed your soul with God's word. Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's why I start every morning in God's word, nourishing my soul. Then recreation. Recreation is literally being recreated. It's God putting you back together again. You need to find life-replenishing activities. What is it for you? Is it working out? Is it scrapbooking? Is it shopping? Is it gardening? What is it for you? Is it jogging? Is it walking? Is it whatever it is for you? Find your life-giving, replenishing activities. It fuels your soul. It recreates you. It restores you. It revives you. And if you neglect that, you'll feel it. Recreation. And then it's one of the top five needs for men, if you didn't know these guys. One of the top needs for men in marriage is male recreational companionship. Then the last word, relationship. Nurture life-giving friendships. And friendships take time. For me, the way I nurture these, early morning breakfast meetings, because that's about the only window I can really allocate to go nurture that. I'll do early morning breakfast engagements with men, and that's where I engage them, where I get to know them. Occasionally, I'll do lunch meetings, but now I'm guarding lunch now for fitness. But I do lunch meetings. I do early morning breakfasts to connect with life-giving friends. Here's the life point. We'll close. Order your world around your Heavenly Father's priorities, and then trust Him to fill the gaps created by your faithfulness.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.